Episode 2. This is the second part of our October pro-life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Last week in episode 1, we gave thanks to Almighty God for 20 years of persistent pro-life preaching, in season and out of season, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether popular or unpopular. Last week, we also reflected on the encouraging words of hope from Pope St. John Paul II in paragraphs 102 and 103 of his beautiful encyclical letter, Veritatis Splendor. St. John Paul II reminded us, keeping God's law in particular situations can be difficult, extremely difficult, but it is never impossible. Temptations can be overcome and sins can be avoided because Jesus Christ gives us the grace and the strength always to keep God's holy law, even in the gravest of hardships. And so the Pope reminds us, it's not impossible to live as Jesus asks us to live. Why? Because God himself helps us. He doesn't abandon us even in our darkest hour. He gives us supernatural grace to keep his holy law even in the most difficult circumstances. If we've said no to the will of the Father in the past because of our human weakness, we have the grace to say yes to his most holy will. This week in episode 2, we begin with some sad irony. As you know, last Sunday was Respect for Life Sunday. And the sad irony is that on the very day that the bishops, priests, and deacons in the United States of America were preaching and proclaiming the dignity of every human life from the moment of conception until natural death, on that very day of Respect for Life Sunday, that was the day of the great massacre in Las Vegas. Respect for Life Sunday. How sadly ironic. And so in light of this great tragedy and the disrespect for the dignity of every human life, today we pray for the repose of the souls of those who died a week ago. I think it was 59 people who lost their lives. And we humbly ask God to purify their souls and to bring them quickly home to heaven. We pray for the healing of those recovering from various injuries sustained in the attack, and I think it was almost 500 people who were injured. And finally, we give thanks to God for so many brave men and women, so many first responders and police officers who risked their lives to save as many people as possible. And we know that several people did indeed die saving the lives of others. Jesus says, nobody has greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friend. Many people said to me last week, Father, this is just a terrible tragedy. And I said, I agree, it's terrible, it's wicked, it's evil, it's an abomination. And they would say to me, Father, can you believe this type of evil behavior? And I said, absolutely. And they kind of stopped and they looked at me funny and did a double take. And they said, well, Father, doesn't it surprise you that someone should do such an evil act? And I said, it doesn't surprise me in the least. I'm not shocked by this type of behavior. It is totally predictable that this type of evil behavior is happening. And they really look at me funny and they twist their eyes and their head and they think that I've kind of gone mad. And I say, let me introduce you to my good friend, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Do you remember when St. Mother Teresa came to Washington, D.C. on the 3rd of February, 1994? I know the date exactly. 3rd of February, 1994. She came to Washington, D.C. She was invited to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And there's this little nun at the podium. They didn't even have it big enough for her, so she was just kind of barely, her eyes popped up over the podium. Right next to her is sitting the President of the United States. Do you remember what she said? Almost 24 years ago, this coming February, I remember exactly what she said. It's very important. She said this: any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. If we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? The news media had wall-to-wall coverage of the massacre of 59 people in Las Vegas, but we heard nothing about the 3,700 people in the United States who died last Sunday from abortion. It's exactly the same thing. The gunman in Las Vegas decided that 59 people enjoying a concert were not wanted and they should be killed, just like 3,700 mothers decided that their babies were not wanted and should be killed. The people in Las Vegas, you say, well, they were innocent bystanders. And I say the 3,700 souls in the wombs of their mothers are even more innocent. They are totally helpless. They're too small to even run away from the instruments of mass destruction. Today, it will be 1 week since the massacre of 59 people in Las Vegas, and the news media is still reporting on it. It's still a top news story. And since the massacre in Las Vegas 1 week ago today, 25,900 Americans have lost their lives because of abortion. And no one has said anything. 25,900. Now that is a massacre. The greatest destroyer of love and peace, Mother Teresa said, is abortion. So what happened in Vegas is really our fault. Any country that accepts abortion is teaching its people to use violence to get what they want. If we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Even Dr. Seuss knows the truth. A person is a person, no matter how small. You probably saw the news headline at the end of August this year, which said, Iceland close to eradicating Down syndrome. Remember seeing that headline? Do you remember reading what CBS News reported, that with the rise of prenatal screening tests across Europe and the United States, the number of babies born with Down syndrome has significantly decreased, but few countries have come as close to eradicating Down syndrome births as Iceland. Yay to Iceland! And you stop and say, how have they eradicated Down syndrome? Abortion. Iceland isn't actually eliminating Down syndrome. They're just killing everybody who has it. It's a big difference. They're not curing Down syndrome. They're killing everyone who has Down syndrome. Any country that accepts abortion is teaching its people to use violence to get what they want. Why is it necessary to eradicate Down syndrome? A person with Down syndrome is not in pain and suffering. Some of the people who care for them are in pain and suffering. But a person with Down syndrome is not in pain and suffering. They are so innocent, so beautiful, pure innocence, pure joy. They are brothers and sisters, and they are all what we should be. They are beloved sons and daughters of God. They enrich the kingdom of God with love and joy. It is an abomination to kill them. Even Dr. Seuss knows this, because a person is a person, no matter how small. There is so much bloodshed and violence in the world today, and if you've noticed, there was a lot of bloodshed and violence in the scripture readings today. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." Are we producing fruit for his kingdom? Are we producing life in the vineyard? With 1,350,500 abortions in this country every year, we've added our own bloodshed and violence to the Lord's vineyard. Will he take the vineyard away from us? Thus says the Lord, "Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, give it to grazing, and let it be trampled. I will make it a ruin. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it." Oh no, please no. The good news is God hasn't done this yet. He has not yet taken away the vineyard from us and give it to somebody else to produce fruit. We still have time to produce fruit in our marriages and families. We still have time to produce fruit for the church and the world. We still have time to turn our thoughts to all that is true, all that is honorable, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, all that is gracious, all that is excellent. We still have time. Our fervent prayer is the inspired words of today's responsorial psalm. O Lord of hosts, please, we beg you, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect what your right hand has planted. We will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life. And we will call upon your name. O Lord, God of hosts, restore us. Oh, restore us, we beg you. If you let your face shine on us, then we shall be saved.